Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of Northern Minnesota. Kathy McTavish is an installation media artist, a composer, a cellist, a computer coder, and much more. And her art exhibits are experiences that a viewer becomes part of. And they are experiences that weave all of those skills I just mentioned into a multimodal feast of the mind and senses. Kathy's multimedia exhibit experience that she calls Cloud Factory is currently at the Lyric Center for the Arts in Virginia. And Kathy's on the line right now. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice. If we could start off by, could you take us inside Cloud Factory?
Yeah, I'm happy to be at the Lyric. I love visiting the Lyric. Wonderful group of people there. And so what I have hanging there actually is a new body of work, which is some algorithmically generated quilts. My sister is a quilter in Duluth, and in her studio she has a computerized quilting machine. And so I've been working in coded spaces for a long time, and I make sort of these media enclosures, these media installations that include, they work on the web, and then they are also delivered into environments, into rooms, into galleries, and they deliver, they create like on the fly, they're creating sound and also animations. And so I wanted to kind of explore what it would be like to take that code and map it into a more physical form. So I've been doing that with some print forms. So I've been doing some books that are generated by this algorithmic, kind of a chance-infused algorithm. And then I was lucky to be able to work with my sister to create some quilts. So for the first time, I'm showing those at the Lyric. And so there's eight large panels. They're like 4 feet by 8 foot quilts that are hanging in that space. Then there's also some of my books, and then also some monitors that are spaced around the room that are drawing 24/7 for the time that they'll be there. They're drawing, and they're also creating a soundscape. So
Whoa.
It's kind of an immersive soundscape. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Even your website alone is an experience of the senses.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did you come to this voice artistically of melding the coding along with the visual piece? And of course, then, you know, how did you decide to add the music along? How did you get here?
Well, I've been interdisciplinary my whole life, and that sometimes I've struggled against it, and then I've just decided to try to figure out how to put all those things together. So I was a cellist when I was growing up, and I studied music theory and composition, and I've just as a young person did a lot of different things, but I ended up coming up to Duluth as a sign language interpreter, and I put myself through school in mathematics, and so I learned how to code then, and I studied ecosystems, so I used mathematics to study how ecosystems evolve through time and how they interact, how part components of the system interact with each other and impact each other, and so and then when I was coding, I was working with web technologies a lot. So I think I've been really interested in the sort of system space for a long time. And as a cellist, then later in life, I started doing improv work. And so I've been interested also in chance, you know, how chance impacts, so how deviations impact ecosystems, or how I can kind of incorporate chance into my work, whether it be as a musician or in, you know, working in these sound and animation spaces. So, and I love, you know, I've really liked working with installations because I'm able to make an environment that people can come into. And so it's not just like a one-off performance, but it's like a room that people can inhabit for a while. And on last Thursday, we had an opening at the Lyric, and it was just wonderful to have a chance to talk with people within the environment. Mm-hmm. So it kind of frees me up to be able to actually have conversations with people, which has been really kind of a pleasure. And it was great to be at the Lyric. I love coming up to Virginia and a great community up there.
Yeah. So I was looking online, like I do before I interview somebody, and it does seem like your shows, it seems like people walk almost into your planet. How did people react to it in Virginia when you were talking to visitors?
Well, people have such great insights because I find that like if there's a lot of different entry points, so and that's partly because it has so many edges to it. It has music, you know. It has, in this case, there's these physical things, these fiber arts that a lot of people that were in the room themselves do in different fashions, and so people have a lot of really interesting things to bring to the space. So they relate it to their own experience, and perhaps they're a musician, perhaps they're a visual artist, but or a writer. And I feel like there were some great conversations about people just kind of noticing things that I might not have even noticed myself because they're coming from a different vantage point. Right. So some great cultures were in the room, and I always like collaborating with writers because they have interesting things to metaphor spaces that they work in that they bring to the table. And so, yeah, it just kind of provides a lot of different dimensions that people can, you know, come into the room and connect to.
Mm-hmm. Are there projections at the Lyric Center show too, like up on screens?
There's one projection in the room. I work a lot of times with projections, but the Lyric space, I love storefront spaces, and that particular one is gorgeous, but it also means that there's a lot of ambient light during the hours that the gallery's open, so it's difficult to project in there. So I have one that's kind of throwing projection off into a corner. For this one, it's mainly, that's why it's kind of interesting that the quilt's there, because they're, you know, they're meant to be lit in a way. So yeah, I kind of usually work with the room, so if there's a lot of ambient light, then I kind of shift what I'm doing accordingly.
Yeah, I should let our listeners know that your sister is McTavish of the McTavish quilting phenomenon. If a lot of people, a lot of quilters are in our listening area, and they may be privy to that piece of information as well. So I was looking at her work too, so I can only imagine how great these quilts are.
Oh, it's wonderful to work with her. And then my partner is the poet Sheila Paca.
Oh, my gosh.
Who works a lot up on the range. And so I learn a lot from both working with Sheila. And then it's just been a pleasure to work with my sister.
What a meeting of wonderful women. You've said art has the potential to open subliminal, submerged aspects of ourselves to foster reflection and transformation. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, so as a musician, right, I worked a lot in wordless spaces, so places that maybe where the literal meaning wasn't just boom right there on the surface. And yet, like, music is very transportative, right? It's an expressive tool that sort of names something that maybe is a little bit beneath the surface, beneath words. And I think because of that early experience, I've always felt very comfortable you know, maybe creating environments where I have a lot of expressive intent. I have a certain, you know, maybe literal source to the material, but I like to kind of, I feel like working in abstract spaces, working in sound spaces without words sometimes kind of leaves it really open to the viewer to have their own experience. And I feel very that's kind of a gift for me when people come in and do have their own experiences. And I think that's why I like working with poets a lot too, because they're working with words, but if poetry is kind of a form that uses metaphor to create openings, so it doesn't necessarily tamp down on strong literal meanings, but keeps, you know, the best poetry sort of evokes something, but keeps it open for the reader as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like your work is doing that for people when you talk to them. They're finding things. They're seeing things in your work that you didn't think about before.
Yeah, and that's a pleasure for me.
Yeah.
It's a learning experience for me.
Wow. So do you think that art, you are really the STEM educational acronym, the science, technology, engineering, and math, and now there's this push for STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. You kind of are STEAM.
You know, Mary McReynolds, there was a group of kids that were rehearsing a play there when right before the opening, and Mary McReynolds, who's the director there at the Lyric, brought that up, actually.
Oh.
And all the kids actually talked about that quite a bit, their own experiences with that, because I think that's true. What you're saying is schools are starting to think about that. They always have, but just, you know, that particular acronym. And all the kids, it was interesting. They were like second graders through sixth graders, and they all knew what that was and could talk about that. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah. So, well, that's Kathy McTavish. You can see her show, Cloud Factory, at the Lyric Center for the Arts in Virginia. And it'll be up until the end of the month. And I would encourage you to check out her website as well and follow along with what Kathy's doing. Thanks, Kathy, for sharing your gifts with all of us.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for having me.
All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, same to you.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. It's just about 9 o'clock.